You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. On today's edition of Food Friday, we hit the trails for a taste of old-fashioned cowboy cooking with some new twists along the way. Our guest serves up some tried-and-true ranch favorites with barbecue sauce and beans, and he also goes in some unexpected directions with recipes like cowboy sushi and, you ain't going to believe, the strawberry balsamic pie.
Kent Rollins joins us now. He's a longtime ranch cook, a storyteller, and a poet. His new book is called A Taste of Cowboy, Ranch Recipes and Tales from the Trail. Kent, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Thank y'all so much for taking time out of your day to visit with me.
Well, Kent, how did you become a cook on a cattle ranch?
Well, my mother started me cooking at an early age, and it sort of took a hold. And then later on, I'd eat off some old wagons that had been at ranches, and some of the cooks were not the best in the world, but due to cowboy code and etiquette, you never complain. You could be the next one in line. But started cooking for elk hunters in the Gila wilderness in the early 80s, and sort of got started cooking in cast iron there, and then went and got me an 1876 rebuilt authentic Studebaker chuck wagon and commenced to cooking for ranches when they was branding the working cattle spring and fall. And word got out, a full stomach and a good cook, and it wasn't long before everybody in the world was calling, and a lot of different ranchers, and then we got doing a lot of catering to go with it, so it went from ranches to bar mitzvahs to corporate gatherings to TV, so it's all been good.
Well, how do you define cowboy cooking? What is it?
Well, I think to me cowboy cooking is food that is, first of all, simple, but it's heartwarming, soul-feel-good food. It's got a southwestern flair for it, but it's something that you can find in your pantry or all the home cooks probably have in their house. And it's something that you put together and follow these recipes along, and it will turn any canned good into something that you thought was the freshest thing in the world.
Yeah, you say in your book you do a lot of cooking with canned goods. If you're out on the range, that's portable. What's the secret to taking canned food and making it something fun and interesting?
Well, I think most of all, it's the seasoning in which you put with it. But first of all, buying good quality canned goods sure helps. But a lot of it you don't have to rinse, but there's a lot of canned goods out there that you need to rinse vegetables that come in a canned good or something like that, because who wants to taste canned when you can taste real food?
Well, for those of us who haven't cooked out on the range, what are some of the biggest challenges that we don't know about?
Well, I think the biggest challenge of all when you're cooking out there is Mother Nature's fury and wrath. Sometimes she can unleash on you. Like today, we're set up going to cook for a feed about 500 people, and right now the wind's blowing about 40 and it's raining. But Mother Nature will give you something every once in a while you didn't see coming, and she's tried and tested me for many years. I've cooked in everything but an earthquake, I guess, and but she still offers me the best view out my kitchen window of any in the world, because I've seen sights that people can't even take a picture of.
Now, cast iron. You've got a few pages on your love of cast iron skillets and other cookware. Why is cast iron so important?
Well, cast iron has been around forever and ever, and if you take care of it, it'll outlast us all. I used to tell people, I said, if there was a nuclear war, there'd be three things that's left in the world. They all start with C. That's cast iron, cockroach, and coats. And cast iron is something that all the old-timers cooked in many, many generations ago. And many years ago, Griswold was the maker, and they were some of the best that there ever was. And now there's very few companies that make in the United States. I said probably Lodge is the only one. But cast iron holds heat well. It distributes heat well. And also, you can absorb iron from eating out of cast iron.
What do you think is key to keeping our cast iron skillets looking good, going strong for years? Because a lot of people get confused about how you season it.
Yeah, first of all, never let it see soap. You know, cast iron is, you can be cleaned with heat, hot water, and oil. When you cook something in a cast iron skillet and you get through with it, you can rinse it out with hot water, and if you have to use a little force, use a soft side of a sponge and get it good and clean, and then set it back on a burner or a heat source and dry it out really well, and then re-season. It's not once a week or once a month. It's every time you use it, and we re-season all our cast iron with olive oil. It makes nothing pretty sweet. It'll give it a good slick finish.
So never soap. Got it. We are talking to Kent Rollins. His new book is called A Taste of Cowboy. He's bringing us traditional cowboy cooking and some surprises. And let's get into one of those surprises, Kent. We have one of your recipes online and on our Facebook page, cowboy sushi, cowboy style sushi. So first of all, what made you decide you wanted to try a ranch style, a ranch take on sushi?
Well, my little beautiful wife, Shannon, who co-authored this and took all the food pictures and the ranch photography, she got me hooked on sushi a long time ago, and it's probably my most favorite meal. And I told her when we come out with this cookbook, I said, you know, my love, we're going to put some sushi in there. And she said, I don't think people will think too much of you being a cowboy putting sushi in there. And I said, well, we're going to make it cowboy, and that starts beef. But so many sushi, so much about it, and I don't know a whole lot because I'm sure not a sous chef of sushi, but it's the sauce that goes with it that makes the sushi good.
So what's your sauce? Tell us about the sauce on this beef-based cowboy sushi.
Well, I wanted something that's got a little kick to it. You know, you take the mayonnaise and you put it in there as the base to start off with, and then you add horseradish, and I really like fresh horseradish more. Jarred, but as long as it's got a bite to it. Time you add the Worcestershire and the soy and a little lime juice for the team, a little dab of liquid smoke and some light brown sugar just to give it a little sweetness to that heat, and pour that over that sirloin steak that's cut thin, or like we say, a Milanese cut. Time you soak it with a little lime juice and meat tenderizer and either our seasoning or seasoned salt and black pepper. Grill that thing rare. And I mean, then put the cream cheese and the cucumbers and the jalapenos and the onions to it. Top it off with that avocado and put some of that sauce on there, and I could eat about 3 pounds right now.
Well, so could I. But I wonder, you know, you put this in front of a ranch hand. Is this what they're looking for from their ranch chef, cowboy-style sushi?
Well, for the crews that know me well, and there's a lot of them in the last 25 years, they know that I'm going to take really good care of them. And appetizers were something that were totally new and different to me till I started on Chopped Grill Masters many years ago. So I try to have something for some of them cowboys at times when they come in that's a little different and something sort of tied them over till supper gets there. And I've used this sushi on quite a few times, and they're amazed. They don't know what it is, and they sure wouldn't call it sushi, but they sure didn't want to have it other than that.
What is the most popular thing that people ask you for when they want a taste of your cowboy cooking?
Well, I think if you go with a meat dish, it's probably the chicken fried steak. If it's going towards dessert, it would be the bread pudding with the whiskey sauce, because I didn't want to give it out in the first place, and Sam talked me into it. But that's probably the bread pudding and the whiskey sauce is probably the most requested thing out there. Because people knew I wouldn't give it up for a long time.
Well, tell us a little bit about that one. How do you put together bread pudding with whiskey sauce?
Well, first, you have to start with the right kind of bread. And I grew up on some bread pudding that was weak old biscuits, anything you could find. But I created this a long time ago and started using hamburger buns. I like a fresh bread, and I really like the hamburger buns because they give it light and airy. It's something that's got the right texture. And then you get the cinnamon and the nutmeg, the vanilla, and the sugar and the eggs in there. Bake this till it's just right done, and then you pour that whiskey cream sauce over it, and it's a home run. And as the cowboys call it, they don't call it whiskey sauce. They call it goes over, because it goes over everything well, even the next morning.
Now, I wonder, Kent, so what do you bake that in? So, I mean, if I made this in the kitchen, I'd bake it in my oven. You're out on the range in your chuck wagon. What are you cooking that in out there?
I'm cooking it in usually a 16 or a 14-inch Dutch oven. You put coals underneath and coals on top. You can bake anything in one of them. You can bake in a conventional oven.
We are talking to Kent Rollins about his new cookbook. He's telling us about cowboy cooking ranch recipes. We've got one of them, that cowboy sushi, over at the Central Time Facebook page. We're getting new twists on cowboy-style cuisine on today's edition of Food Friday.
And you could join in. Do you have a question about cowboy cooking? Are you a fanatic for your cast iron skillet? Well, maybe you haven't cooked on a cattle drive, but maybe you cooked while camping or hiking. What are some of your favorite, your tips, your recipes, your lessons learned? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Kent Rollins, a ranch chef and author of the new cookbook, A Taste of Cowboy, Ranch Recipes and Tales from the Trail.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about what it's like to cook out on the range, to cook for ranchers, if you have a question about particular recipes that you might associate with that, maybe we'll ask about beans in a bit, barbecue sauce, maybe you need some grilling advice for beef and other meats as we head into grilling season here in Wisconsin. And if you've done a lot of cooking outdoors, maybe not on the range, but maybe at the campsite or on the hike, what is your key? What's your secret success recipe? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page where we've got Kent's recipe for cowboy sushi. We've got a caller, Jerry, on the line now from Waukesha. Jerry, hi. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering if you could tell me what type of oil he preferred to use with his cast iron cookware, or are there several varieties that a person could use?
Interesting, Jerry. So, Kent, yeah, what is there a favorite oil when you're cooking on your cast iron?
Is he talking to frying or seasoning?
Why don't you give us both?
Well, if I'm going to fry very length of time, for especially in cast iron, I use what they call a creamy fry oil. It has a really high burn point. I've used peanut oil. I've used canola oil, but I really like the creamy fry oil.
Creamy fry oil, Kent? I haven't heard of that. Creamy fry oil. What is that?
Yeah, they just started making it a couple of years ago. I usually get it at like Costco's or Sam's, something like that. It's a commercial grade, and it's what everybody loves. The deep fry people use in a lot of restaurants, but it lasts a long time. But I've used a lot of canola oil, a lot of peanut oil. I've had many people that use grape seed oil. And if I'm seasoning, I'm just using straight olive oil if I'm seasoning my cast iron.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for that call, Jerry. And Kent, I feel like we have to ask you about beans and a way to maybe make baked beans out on the trail when you're camping. A lot of people think of that as the quintessential cowboy food.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles. Yeah,
right.
That scene, yeah.
What sets yours apart? How do you do it right?
Well, first of all, my mother taught me to make these baked beans when I was probably 8 or 9 years old. So it's always been a favorite of mine. And you start with two different kinds of beans. And that's what they call a ranch-style beans, or if you don't have them, you can use any chili bean. And then pecan beans. Make sure you drain both of them well, and then combine them, and then you add a little barbecue sauce in there, and then some jalapeno, a little dab of mustard. And you cook them till they're baked. Not like just boiling beans, but they'll bake just right, and you put some good bacon in there to go with them. And they've been a hit everywhere we've ever been for the last 25 years.
Sounds fantastic. Now, earlier, you're using canned beans there. And earlier, you said use quality canned products. I'm at the store. I don't know. How do I tell the quality canned beans, say, from, the stuff I don't want to use?
Well, I'm not supporting any canned company, but you know the name brands. You know, I'm not going to buy the off-brand that I've never heard of. I'm going to buy the best ones that I can find, because you start with a good product. You end with a good product, and we use ours are just called ranch-style beans, but I have used bushes, but it's not a baked bean to start with. It's just a regular chili bean or a regular bean, but I have used black beans when I couldn't find anything else.
Okay, now you mentioned earlier people go crazy for your chicken fried steak. Now, we heard about your bread pudding, so let's go to the chicken fried steak next. What does it take to make a yummy cowboy-style chicken fried steak?
Well, first of all, you got to start with the right cut of meat, you know, and I've used a little of everything in the world, but I like to use a sirloin most of the time. I have used the inside of the round, but you're going to find the top or a bottom round first, and that's what you try to go with, because they're going to be the best. And you get it tenderized, bottom round steak or cube steak. I usually have a minute for the tenderizer twice, because you start out with a piece of meat that's a good 3/4 to an inch thick. You don't want it so thin when they tenderize it that it falls apart. And I really think the secret is the seasoning plus the batter that we made to go on it. It's a golden dry batter that we made that takes the place of milk and egg. We used buttermilk and egg for years, and it doesn't stick to meat as well as I'd like for it to, and it has a higher bone point anytime you're using something that's egg-based or milk-based like that, if it's a whole ingredient. And a little bit of baking powder in there will help to give it a little pop to get that batter to raise up a little bit. And you need to double dip the meat, or as we say, double baptize it. Deep fry that rascal and pour some gravy over it, and you've got a happy meal.
Now, I would think, Kat, sometimes you use chicken fried steak on a cut of meat that isn't that great, you know, to kind of disguise meat that's, you know, not the most expensive, some of the cheap stuff. You're saying, no, use some decent stuff there.
Yes, sir. And, you know, chicken fried, the term came so many years ago, back during the Depression. I mean, it was a way for folks to make meat look a little bigger and feed more people with the batter that was in it. Back then, they had more batter than they did meat. But if you start with the right cut of meat, sure, you're going to get better than you would. I've used a lot of the cheaper cuts of meat. That's what we grew up on. But, you know, you tenderize them enough, you can get there. But a lot of them cheaper cuts of meat are going to have a vein of fat to them or a vein of gristle that takes away from what you're trying to serve.
Talking to Kent, we're talking to Kent Rollins about his new cookbook, A Taste of Cowboy. He's sharing his advice from cooking on the range. A lot of recipes. Still time for you to join in if you've got advice for cooking, maybe not out on the range, but out on the hiking trail, out in the campground. Advice for outdoor cooking, a favorite recipe, or maybe a question. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Now, Kent, I got to say, we've talked to a lot of people who have written cookbooks. I think this is the first one we've ever seen with a remedy for spider bites in it. What is the cowboy cure that you share for a spider bite out on the range?
Well, there's been so many things that them old-timers experimented with me when I was little. I thought they was crazy, but actually some of them did work. And, you take a copper penny to a spider bite, or you make a meat tenderizer paste and put on there, it's going to help draw that poison out. And when Shannon first moved down here to this country and got bit by a spider, and I told her we'll take a penny on it, and she thought I'd lost my mind. Well, after it was gone the next morning, she said, just think how fast it would have worked if it had been a 50-cent piece. And I said, well, it's got to be copper. It ain't hardly going to work with anything else. But the copper helped draw the poison out. But also the meat tenderizer paste, if you'll mix it up and put it on spider bites, stinging scorpion, wasp, anything like that, the enzymes in there help break the poison down, and it'll suck it out there a whole lot quicker.
Okay, that's a couple remedies I'm going to store away. Meat tenderizer and taping a penny to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'll try it with my kids, I guess. Well, Kent, I want to ask you about, you know, so you're talking to us in Wisconsin here. We live and die by our cheese, and you have a recipe here for cheese crisps. How did you stumble across that one?
Well, she was in the kitchen there when we were going through this cookbook, and as y'all know, because y'all are looking at it, this is more than just a cookbook. This is a lifestyle, and it's not all about just for say you've got to cook like a cowboy or be outside. This is all in the house, any place you want to have it. But she said, you know, that when you make a grilled cheese sandwich or you have pizza you're making and you burn that cheese just nearly and it gets all crispy, she said, that's some of the best eating I've ever seen in my life. And she said, I'm going to try to recreate that.
All
right. Well, she did. It's really easy with the canned green chilies and the two different kinds of cheese that you put in there. You make that just right. Add a little splash of hot sauce in there. And, people will eat them faster than you can imagine. We have made as many as 100 of these at a time for appetizers in different places, and they're always gone first. But I think the cheddar cheese and the Parmesan combined is what really helps.
All right, Kent, thank you so much for joining us. I understand you're cooking for 500 people now. Good luck and have fun with that, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you all for taking the time out, sir. I tell people, tune in to CBS Sunday morning this coming Sunday. They did a piece on us. You can take a little glimpse into the lifestyle that we lead.
That was Kent Rollins. He's a ranch cook, a storyteller, a poet, and author of the book, A Taste of Cowboy, Ranch Recipes and Tales from the Trail. And by the way, we've got that recipe for cowboy sushi. He was telling us about it earlier. It's a beef. There's avocado. There's jalapeno. A lot of other stuff like that. Check that out on the Central Time Facebook page, or just head over to WPR.org and search for cowboy sushi. I think that's the only hit you're going to get on the Central Time or on the website. Cowboy sushi, you're just going to get one answer, this recipe.
Well, and it was great to get more information about cast iron skillet cooking. This is something that I believe in. I have one. I don't use it because I'm never quite sure about the seasoning, but I've gotten a couple different takes here on Central Time. I think I'm going to get it out and try it.
Yeah, you know, and Kent and Noah Ovshinsky, our news guy, have both told us on air, don't use soap on your cast iron skillet. I still do it. I can't envision washing something without soap. Yeah, but maybe I'll try just scrubbing. You know, like you said, like Kent said, just put a lot of force on it and rinse hot water and then heat it.
It'll last forever, apparently.
All right. Well, check out that recipe at the Central Time Facebook page.